Hey friends, this is Life After College, and I'm Coach Brigana. I'm here to inspire you to level up, empowering you to rise to new heights on your journey as you create the success you've always dreamed of. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Life After College. I'm excited about today's episode and guest. We'll be talking about how to be financially confident while in college and beyond. And to help me with this topic, we have an old college buddy, John Bender. John has been a certified financial planning professional since 2017 with over a decade of financial planning experience and started his career in 2012. John's experience includes investment, tax, insurance, retirement, and estate planning, as well as cash flow management. John works with a variety of family groups and businesses, mainly in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Previously, John was a professional football player with the Calgary Stampeders in the CFL and an all-conference NCAA football player, as well as an all-conference academic with the University of Nevada Wolfpack. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
As I introduce, we're going to be talking about finances. Some people don't necessarily like talking about finances, but this is going to be such a unique episode because I want to talk about it from the perspective of being in college and there being limited financial resources available to college students and what mindset they can get in and tips and tricks that they can have to really maximize their budget. So given a college student's limited financial resources, how can they do that? How can they maximize their budget?
I think there's a few things they should look at. I always look at finances, especially when I'm working with younger people. I work a lot with the next generation, so a lot of my clients are, you know, maybe parents or grandparents, and as they bring along their children, oftentimes I'll meet with them to kind of get them going and get them started. And I find that saving is just like anything else. It's kind of, you learn how to save. So even if you're in college and you're able to tuck away maybe $50 a month or $100 a month or something like that, get yourself an emergency fund started. Maybe you pick up an extra shift at work. Maybe you work through the summer rather than taking the break. I think that a lot of the college students are young, they're healthy, they have an ability to work. They should, you know, take advantage of that. And if you're able to find a job, find an internship, find whatever it might be where you pick up a few more dollars, then try to save and try to get, you know, your emergency fund started, get that going, because there's going to be a, you know, demands on your cash flow in the future, whether that's from, you know, moving to a new location, you know, starting a new business, you know, wanting to purchase a lump sum for a car, for a house, you know, paying down your student debts. There's going to be some demands on your cash flow in the future, so you might as well get started with getting saving a few more dollars.
Definitely. As I look back at my college career, I worked full-time and went to school full-time, and I didn't have that mindset. And if I would have, I think later on down the line, I might have made some different choices, and even like jobs that I took, I'm like, man, I need to work. I need money. And maybe it wasn't exactly the right fit. But if I potentially had extra savings or just more of a structure, I might have made some different decisions. So I like that, save early.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the biggest thing you're trying to do is create flexibility and options for yourself. And if you have some savings, maybe, you know, you can wait to, you know, maybe an extra 2 weeks or 3 weeks to hear back from another job rather than forcing your hand to go work at a place that maybe is not the perfect fit. And maybe that's a better fit long term. And, you know, I just think, you know, creating flexibility and options for yourself is the biggest thing that you can do when you're young. And, you know, because you might, you know, when people were young, I mean, we remember back in the day, you know, sometimes, you know, change happens quick. You know, you find a job, you meet somebody, you want to move to a new area, new direction, new part of the country, and you want to have the flexibility and options to do that.
Definitely. So with that of having flexibility and options, what kind of mindset would you suggest for a college student to have while on their financial journey? in college, you know, where it's, there's a lot going on, right? There's academic things going on. There's a social life that you're building, and there's all these new things happening. I think for some college students, a financial mindset may not be at the forefront. So what kind of mindset could a college student have?
So often I'll just lean on some things that I talk to a lot of my clients about, and the same thing that I would talk to young people about is just, I'm not asking you to do this a whole lot, but maybe one day a quarter, I joke with some of my clients, first Friday of every quarter, you know, maybe April 5th or whatever it was this year, you know, sit down for an hour and really think about your goals. And if your goals are lined up to be, you know, where I want to be in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, am I doing the things right now to get to those goals? And if you're not, well, maybe it's time to, you know, look at your path and find opportunities to work towards those goals. And I'm not asking you to, you know, reinvent the wheel or anything. I'm just asking you every 3 months, take an hour or two and really sit down and say, you know, what I want out of life, what I want out of work, what I want out of my social life, what do I want out of my personal relationships? And if you can really sit down and, you know, do a lot of goal setting, you know, from my football background, you know, we used to sit down with our coaches once a week on Fridays, and they used to sit down and say, I want you to make 3 goals for practice this week. And that way in practice during that week, you wanted to, you know, whatever the goals might be. And then that Friday they'd come back and they'd say, hey, you accomplished this goal. You didn't do this goal. You accomplished this goal, whatever it might be. But I think goal setting is a big, it's a big thing that a lot of people can get involved with. And I think, you know, if you're not goal setting, you're not planning, well, it's going to be tough for you to get to where you want to go.
Yeah. What you said made me think of, do something today that your future you will thank you for. And so I think that's really what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to saving, you know, I've worked with hundreds of clients here over the last decade. No one's ever regretted saving as much as they did when they were young, is what I've noticed. I hear a lot of people say, you know, I wish I would have saved that bonus, a few more dollars away when I was younger, whatever it might be. I have a lot of clients that have, you know, great financial situations, and they'll never spend the money they have in retirement. And some of them still say, you know, I could have saved a little bit more when I was younger. So yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, one of the most interesting parts of my job as a financial planner is learning that if people have $10,000 or $10 million, they both have financial stress. And it's just different kinds for different people, and you still got to work around it and try to find the best fit for some people with what they're trying to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that you suggest to sit down at least once a quarter. Like, that's so achievable. You're not saying do it every single day or every single month, every week, but once a quarter. And it's so beneficial because so much can happen from quarter to quarter. And I think, especially being in college, from who you are as a freshman to who you are as a senior and all in between, you're definitely growing and changing. So giving yourself that space and flexibility to say, hey, maybe you did write down one goal, but now it's changed. I think that's such a great tool for someone to have.
And it's totally fine if your goals do change. They should change. I mean, you're growing, you're changing, you're in a lot of your formative years, you're making a lot of relationships that'll last lifetimes, whether it's friends, family, coworkers, whatever it might be. You know, those are going to be some people that you meet in college along the way, and it's going to change, you know, what happens for the next 5 years, 10 years, whatever it might be. And each quarter, just have a little moment to reflect and say, hey, I did this really well last quarter. This is something I should look to try and do more this quarter. Things like that.
Yeah. And I also want to touch on, as you know, as our listeners, as they're doing this practice of setting out intentions and goals and then reviewing, you know, where they're at, hey, did I hit that goal or not? I also suggest to grant yourself grace, and if you didn't hit that mark, it's okay. It's feedback. Right. So what can we do differently going forward? Or is this goal really aligned with what I want? Maybe it's something you wrote down as a goal because you think your parents want that for you or whatever the case may be. So, you know, failure is feedback. And I'll definitely link one of our past episodes where we talked about that, because it's not about shaming you. It's about growing and being better and aligning yourself to right. what those goals are, especially on a financial perspective.
Right. I always tell people, if you've hit every single goal, maybe your goals aren't big enough.
Sometimes
there's got to be some goals that really push yourself. And sometimes, you know, you talk to people about their goals and working backwards from them. Mm-hmm. Saying, hey, I want to get to this point, and, you know, maybe there's a college, you know, freshman right now that says, by the time I'm 25, I want to live in this city and have this job. Well, how do I work backwards from where I want to be and where I am now? Is there some courses I need to take? Is there some introductions I need to do? Is there some volunteering to get inside the circle of people that I need to meet, or something like that that could benefit me along the way? And maybe on a Saturday, rather than going to that whatever party it might be, maybe you're, you know, networking at a charity fundraiser instead and trying to find connections in a certain field. And also, you know, give back to the community along the way.
Definitely. I like that. And with that, my next question is, so for those that are, maybe they're about to graduate, or maybe they're a year out of undergrad, what are some practical things that they can do as they start their career journey that would set them up to be financially confident? You know, you go from college, you then get this job making pretty good money, obviously more than what you were making part-time in college. And some people may have a tendency to just go all in and buy all the things. We already talked right. about saving, but what other things can a recent college grad do as they step into their new role and get on their career journey?
So there's a few things I often talk to them about, and it's, talk to someone in your field. I mean, there's got to be someone that you can reach out to for advice. And if there isn't, try to find someone, try to ask around. I mean, there's always going to be someone who, you know, maybe has the same degree as you, works for the company you think you might want to work for, or maybe that's, you know, friends, family members, whatever it might be. And touch base with them and see what they're thinking. And then the other one is, when you start earning the income that you would like, you know, once again, have a big sit down with yourself and say, you know, what do I want to do with this money? Where is this money going to be directed? How many demands on your cash flow do you want to create? I often see some people that maybe get into a situation where, you know, they got too much house, too much car, too much debt, whatever it might be, because they, you know, thought things were going to be a certain way. So, you know, once again, the theme of being flexible, because you're in your 20s and maybe sometimes you want to travel, maybe your friends, you know, these are some things I've seen with lots of people. Their friends get married at a destination wedding. You know, maybe someone in your family gets sick, you want to help out. Maybe, you get sick. Maybe there's other things that you have demands on your cash flow. Well, you want to make sure you have a well-stocked emergency fund, a bit of savings, so that when it is time to access them, that you have something there. And, you know, trying to not live paycheck to paycheck, I think, is a big one for a lot of people, and just trying to get to a different mindset with your cash flow.
Definitely. And outside of those things, I'd like to hear your perspective on investing. I think that's big now, I think, especially with cryptocurrency and all those things going on. So what are your thoughts on investing?
The biggest thing with investing is that you just need to make sure you have the right assets in the right place. Sometimes I've met with, you know, different people who have a lot of investments, and, you know, they think that they might need the money in 6 months or a year, and it's invested a lot more aggressive than maybe it should be for those goals. So, make sure that you're, you know, talking to someone. I often recommend dealing with a financial planner or a financial professional. Certainly a financial planner would help a lot. And just removing the emotion from it. I think that when people watch the news, when they hear their friend talk about whatever it might be, I know you mentioned cryptocurrency, it could be investments, it could be a certain stock, it could be lots of different things. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you talk to someone who's a professional, they're going to try to help remove the emotions, try to help you be a little bit more even keel on your ups and downs. And just know that, hey, this money's in this account for these reasons. And, we should stay on course. And if there's an opportunity for us to, you know, adjust things, it's just going to be a small adjustment. It's not going to be, you know, where we reinvent the wheel, where we try to take your old financial plan, throw it out. We're trying to just, you know, optimize things as best we can.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. I know one of my friends had mentioned about knowing these kinds of things. Sometimes we don't learn these things of investing, saving, budgeting, backwards planning until right. It's way down in the future. So thank you for mentioning all these things now. So almost my last question, second to last question, fill in the blank. It's never too late to start blank.
It's never too late to start saving. So I could fill it with lots of different things. It's never too late to start saving. It's never too late to start having goals.
Definitely.
And it's never too late to start planning. So, yeah. So, I mean, obviously your savings is going to help you plan. Obviously your goals are going to help me, you and your financial planner, whoever you're working with, know what they're saving for, what they're trying to do, how to allocate whatever funds you're using towards whatever goals, and just making sure that, you know, you're keeping, you know, we always say in our financial planning software, we're trying to keep the main thing, the main thing. And when I sit down with clients, I'm writing down their goals in front of them and making sure that, hey, this is what we're allocating towards these goals for these reasons. Is there anything else to talk about here and discuss? And I mean, you should be doing a lot of those things, same things with yourself, and, you know, sitting down and making sure that when you have your quarterly review with yourself, you know, 4 hours a year is all I'm asking people to, you know, really review their goals and look into things and just say, hey, you know, am I, you know, doing the right steps I need to do to get to where I want to be?
That aligns so well with a lot of what I talk about of just personal goals of what is your why and what are you after. Setting up a plan but not knowing why you have it. You're on a hamster wheel, you know, you're not really going anywhere. So knowing what those goals are and then planning for them help you to take action and keep you on track, because right. There's definitely can be deterrences that come along the way.
Oh,
so
the only guarantee I give my clients when we build their first financial plan is this is going to change.
That's a guarantee.
This, and I always say, this is going to be the worst financial plan we build because we don't know enough about each other yet. As we know more about each other, as far as goal setting, as far as, you know, things we want to do, as far as, you know, what's important to you, it's just going to get better and better and better. And I think, you know, the client's perspective from what they want, I think they start to, you know, really narrow in on what their goals are and what they're trying to accomplish. And, you know, there's parts of the book that haven't been written yet. You know, a lot of people, when they graduate university, they don't know how many kids they're going to have, or if they're going to have kids, or if they're going to get married, or if they're going to have whatever career and what city they're going to live in. And there's parts of that story to be untold still, but there's probably a few things along the way that you know you'll need. And one of them is a few dollars. You're going to need some cash. You're going to need a direction. You probably need some certification, whether it's a degree, whether it's, you know, experience in the field to get into the job or the, you know, position that you want to be in. And, you know, there's a few things that you should be working on along the way to get there.
Definitely. And so now for my final question. And I like to ask this question to all of my guests because the podcast is Life After College. So you've gone through college and you're now a real live adult. And so what's your three tips or three lessons learned that maybe you would like to tell your younger self, or not younger, but the college version of you that you've learned since college?
Well, lesson number one is the work does not stop.
Ain't that the truth?
So, yeah, you did all the work you thought to get to where you want to be. You're certainly not on the top of the mountain. You know, you're going to constantly want to be learning, constantly want to be evolving, because the things we learned in university 15 years ago or whatever it was for us, there's a few things that certainly changed since then. And, you know, I thought I would never go back to school. I had a dual major in marketing and management. I thought that was plenty of school. And now you can see I got a certified financial planner designation behind me. That was after 3 years in the industry and a year and a half of coursework and many tests. And there's going to be a few things along the way. And I might not be done, you know. If you get a few letters after your name in whatever field it is, whether you're a chartered accountant, certified financial planner, professional engineer, you know, you get paid a few more dollars often. So, you know, there certainly is. Maybe that's for some people getting a master's. Maybe that's getting a doctorate. Maybe those are things that you can look into in the future. So certainly the one number one is the work does not stop. Number two is I'm always interested in routines. I like to look at my own routine regularly and say, hey, is there a way for me to look at my routine and find a better fit? Because, you know, whoever you think is doing a great job and whatever they're doing, they don't have more hours in the day than you do. Same 24. So if you see someone that you think is doing a better job, whether it's with their, you know, optimizing their work-life balance, whether it's working out, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be, try to find a great routine for yourself. And, you know, maybe that's, you know, moving to a different community. Maybe that's finding, you know, a better fit. And then number three for me is finding a community. So for me growing up, you know, playing football, it was easy to find community. I always knew I had my teammates. They had, you know, through friends of friends, I knew, you know, 50 or 100 people kind of everywhere I went as soon as I got there. And now, you know, obviously I played professional football in Calgary, but most of my teammates that I played with are certainly long gone. There's a couple left over, but finding community is a big one because when you're not working, when you're not doing the other things, who are you spending time with? And are those people aligned with a lot of the goals that you're trying to accomplish and a lot of the other things? So I think, you know, our parents or our grandparents were probably really better at this because they had, you know, country clubs and church and all those other things. And where are you finding community now? And that could be through lots of things. So just try to find a community of people that help you become your best self.
Definitely. I like all three of your suggestions. Your second one of the routine is it a good fit for you? That's such a great one. We actually had an episode about morning routines and night routines and finding what works for you. It doesn't have to be whatever you see on social media. It can be what aligns with you. So thank you, John, for being a guest on the Life After College podcast. This episode has been fantastic. We talked about saving. It's never too late to save. I think a lot of people have heard that, but it's such an important thing. I like how you said nobody ever regrets saving a few extra bucks. So saving is definitely something for college students to start on right now. Even if it's $20 that they're putting away, it's still $20 more than what they could potentially have. And then mindset. I absolutely love how you said once a quarter, it's literally 4 hours out of the whole year to sit down. What are your goals? Have you reached them? And reassess if needed and adjust. I think that's so fantastic. It's that backwards planning. And then speaking about going into, you know, graduating, moving into the workforce of partnering with those that have come before you, like what lessons do they have? And setting yourself up that way. So thank you once again for being on the podcast and sharing with us all your financial goals and goal setting tips. I'll have John's information linked on the episode so you can get in contact with him if you have any questions. And as I always say, make it a great week, make great choices, and I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for joining me on another episode of Life After College. Be sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by subscribing. Want to connect? Reach out on Instagram and TikTok at Next Level Bree. And if you're ready to level up and want support on your journey to success, visit the contact page at coachbrianna.com. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe. And remember, you're in the driver's seat on your road to success.